welcome back to the popular show. I'm James A. Smith, interrupting the silence to tell you about my new book, a political self-help book for people in defeated political movements. It's called So You've Been Ideologically Discredited, and you can get it right now from the Everyday Analysis website. I'll be promoting it in the Stapleton Tavern in Finsbury Park next Monday, the 15th of April at 7 p.m. I'll be interviewed by Sublation Media's Alfie Bowne. It would be great to see you if you can get to London on Monday, the 15th. But right now, I'm going to give you a taste of the book. As I say, I'd love it if you would get a copy, get it as a gift. I'm going to read to you the introduction or preface to the book. We're going to be back doing proper shows, but let this be a taste for now. Take this as a self-help book for people who have spent a considerable amount of time wrapped up in a political project and who have allowed their social life, their hobbies, and their online life to messily merge with a vision for changing the world. It is for people who spent a long time being as cynical as everyone else, but who got the idea that things could be different and carried that thrilling little spark of faith around with them until the spark was put out. Perhaps you led a double life, supporting your work and relationships as you always did, before furtively logging on to obsess over shifting news stories about your favoured party or candidate, to argue about it with strangers and friends of friends, or to build local organisations. In other words, it is self-help for people who wanted a world that was less selfish and who were tired of seeing people like them disappointed or policed and spied on or told they were no good, sent to wars or allowed to die at home. Some of these people are on the left and some of them are on the right. And while they don't think they have much in common, they at least share that they were willing to put their name and character on the line for something received opinion took to be either a joke or wicked and dangerous. There are a lot of people like you. In the couple of decades before the long 2016, all we ever heard about was how people had disengaged from political processes, that they didn't join parties anymore or even vote. Certainly, they didn't believe that ordinary people could work together to make things different. Trump, Brexit, Bernie, Corbyn, Syriza, Podemos, Mélenchon, the Five Star Movement, to speak only of electoral politics, changed the situation for lots of us. All those projects dramatically outperformed the normal political calculus for a while, and then, with a few exceptions, either managed to win and immediately disappointed their supporters, or they collapsed, leaving you, someone who only wanted to make the world better, ideologically discredited and wondering what to do next. The pieces collected here mainly chart the half-life of Corbynism after its defeat. Most were published in Jacobin or Sublation magazine and are lightly revised. I am a 2017 man. My politics is defined by the conviction that when Jeremy Corbyn went from being an electoral non-entity to coming a shocking few percentage points shy of winning the 2017 UK general election, it showed a realisable pathway to victory for a certain left populism. Despite criticism at the time that one cannot build socialism in one country, there is even a counterfactual imaginable where, after Corbyn's victory, the US and several leading countries of the EU could have entered the 2020s with similar radical social democratic governments and begin, perhaps even in cooperation with some countries led by populist nationalists, the project of dismantling globalisation, austerity and forever wars. When it all fell apart, I was left thinking, was that so much to ask? Corbyn's Left Populist 2017 campaign worked by uniting a highly motivated core of left-wing activists and their base of downwardly mobile younger graduates with a more temperamentally conservative and already down older working class. It did this using a remarkably simple formula. One, show that the graduate fraction and the older one agree on core material issues. They both resent the regional underinvestment and shitty jobs of austerity, outsourcing, and offshoring. Two, make the graduate fraction offer the older one something of symbolic importance. The younger cohort didn't vote for Brexit, the older working class did, and Corbynism was willing, in 2017 at least, not only to give it to them, but to make a repatriated post-Brexit economy a cornerstone of its economic project. Three, convince the older working class that they agree with the radical left on something they didn't necessarily think they did, in this case, anti-imperialism. I have described elsewhere how, after a dreadful terror attack in Manchester, Corbyn's showing the background of such disasters in UK foreign policy wrong-footed the commentariat, left and right, when it turned out the public agreed with his arguments. Populist electoral movements have a short shelf life today. At best, there is usually only one chance before, as happened with Corbynism, the bourgeois elements in the project ruin the fine balance of the formula by tipping the emphasis towards their own preoccupations and away from the interests of the working class elements. It also doesn't take long for the constant barrage of attacks from the mainstream media to go from making your leader seem like a rebel to making them seem instead like a naughty school kid. But this is not yet another book about why your favourite counter-hegemonic project lost its way. There are a million books in the world about how to avoid losing in politics. There are fewer on the more difficult question of how to avoid inadvertently making things worse in the world after you lose. Kiddo, it's more common than you'd think. In politics, everyone is a populist when they think their side is winning, and everyone feels the temptation of misanthropy when disabused of that belief. Out of the recent projects just listed, only Trump's more committed supporters were able to break this rule through bloody-minded refusal to believe that he had been voted out at all. Anti-populism is too often the outcome. Even though you've been ideologically discredited, it's important that you learn how to avoid thinking like this. In what follows, I argue that the anti-populism of defeat played a big part in how the Western left found itself offering up its remaining political capital to help defend the West's disastrous establishment consensus on huge crisis events such as COVID-19 and the Russia-Ukraine war. These were issues that required a principled stance of non-alignment and the highest bar for free speech over possible solutions. Instead, the defeated left transformed itself into an attack dog for big tech and big pharma, before turning against its own most durable anti-war institutions out of fear of seeming pro-Putin. Only weeks before October 7th, and one of the biggest spontaneous upticks in popular dislike for British foreign policy in history, one ex-Corbyn advisor could be found calling for the Corbyn-founded Stop the War Coalition to disband over its insufficient support for pouring arms into Ukraine. To the most recent crisis, the crushing of Gaza, the left has, for what it is worth, responded far better. The tone-scolding, the conditional solidarity, the wounded attachment to progressive capitalist parties, the anxiety of being accused of anti-Semitism, conspiracism, or tankyism. All of those bad impulses seem to have been put on hold, and the activist left has been rude and right in support of the Palestinians. As David Slavik and I have claimed on The Popular Show, quite apart from what it is doing to the Middle East, the social media-tized obliteration of Gaza has the potential to scramble the political spectrum in the West. But that is a story for another text. I hope that's got your attention made you curious about reading the rest of the book. As I say, you can get it right now from Everyday Analysis online. And if you can't make it to London on the 15th, then why not look around to see if there are local organisations or even chapters of political parties in your area who might like to invite me to give a talk. I've given a lot of those in the past, and I did in 2019 in support of other people's politics, and I'd be very happy to come to you wherever you are in the country to talk.